Before I start, I give a little announcement. There is a brown Android HTC that somebody lost. So if you find it and you decide not to keep it, please bring it to the reception desk. So it's a brown Android HTC. Well, I guess we're complete. So this is the agenda for the next hour. First, gonna tell you who I am. Next, I'm gonna dive into the topic of how do you design a Windows 8 application if you have experience designing an iPad app, or if you have already an iPad app in your company. And then after that, I'm gonna explain you how to create an innovative design. A lot of designers have a challenge with Windows 8 that because it looks very boxy, and I'm gonna help you finding the boundaries of the design language to create a unique and compelling app. After that, I'm gonna give you some tips on how to prepare your client, because you're in the audience, but your client is not in the audience. So how are you gonna sell your design to your client? And then there's a Q&A session as well. So first, who am I? I'm Bart. I'm a creative director at Ratio Interactive. Ratio Interactive is a company based in Seattle. I'm originally from Belgium, but I moved to Seattle 3 years ago, and I started working at this company when I arrived. And this is how it looks like. It's in Pioneer Square. And Pioneer Square is known in Seattle for being the hub for startups. Like Zynga is around the corner. You also have Facebook, Google, and Amazon a couple of blocks away. So it's really at a tech hub in Seattle. And Ratio Interactive built $1.2 million the past years just by building, developing, and designing a Windows 8 apps. So there's a huge opportunity for you as designers or for you as an agency to step into that business and to increase your revenue. So this is quick overview of all the apps that Ratio Interactive created in the past year. We launched more than 20 apps. There are pretty famous brands there like Vanity Fair, Glamour, Wired, iCookbook, Allrecipes. We also did stuff for Nasdaq and Intel. And I'll show you some screenshots of these apps in the next hour. So it all started like a year ago, in November last year. I got invited by Microsoft to their Redmond campus to learn about the Windows 8 design language and to apply it to an app. And the app that they really liked was an app called iCookbook. And iCookbook in this case, what you see on the screen, is an iPad app that Ratio Interactive created 2 years ago for a company called PIL. And PIL is an American company, an American publisher that publishes around 60 cooking books, like physical books, each year. And we helped them stepping into the digital world by first developing and designing an iPad app for them. It was a hugely successful app. It looks a little dated. It's like 2.5 years old now. But we first built it for iPad. Then we switched over to iPhone. We also did Android version of these for tablet and phone. We quickly moved to webOS, which I don't know if it still exists, but it was another OS at the time. And finally, we decided to develop for Windows 8. And Microsoft liked us because we were a cross-platform design and development company. We knew how to develop and design apps for all the ecosystems around. So they thought like Ratio is the perfect company to build one of the first non-internal apps. Because at the time, November last year, you only had Mail and Calendar, those kind of internal Microsoft apps, but there were no external apps, no apps from third parties. So they asked us to design and develop iCookbook for Windows 8. And why was PIL, the company behind iCookbook for iPad, interested in taking on the opportunity? Because it costs a lot of money to develop apps, especially if you have like a heavy backend with thousands of recipes and packages of recipes that you sell every month. There's quite a lot going on there. Their strategy is to go where people are. So if there's a lot of usage on the iOS platform, then you should publish your app for iOS, because that's where the audience is. if Android proves to be taking on, and it is taking on, then you develop an app for Android. It's pretty logical. And they saw a big opportunity in Windows 8 because there's a huge market potential. Katrin this morning already showed how many millions of installations there are of Windows 7 that will turn into Windows 8. So it's a huge potential for reaching a lot of people. The other opportunity that we were dealing with at that time is being the first mover. If you're the first cooking app in the Windows 8 store from day one, then you're the first cooking app. So a lot of early adopters will be connected to your brand. So it's also important right now for Belgian companies to see opportunities there. There are not so many. There, I've been told 170 Belgian apps. That's almost nothing. So if you create the 180th app, then your chances are 1 out of 180 to be discovered in the Belgian App Store, which is a great opportunity, especially if you add in-app purchasing. You can quickly take off as a Windows 8 core app. I'm going to take a little sip. So what you see on screen now is what I created day one of my day, well, my stay at Microsoft. This is the first iteration on designing iCookbook for Windows 8. And there's a lot of wrong with this design, so keep a close eye on it. And I'll refer to it, what was wrong, what I didn't understand in day one. In order to evaluate the design you just saw, you need to know about three core design principles. And one of those principles is content before Chrome. So Microsoft takes the content of your app and they put it on a pedestal. They want to serve you your content first. Your app should be all around your images or your pictures or your videos or whatever your app is about. That should be up in front on your screen. It's not about search fields. It's not about buttons or complex navigation items. It's just about your content. That should be very clear in this session. We all know Jacob Nielsen, and for those that don't know what Chrome is everything that is not your content, everything around your content that helps you navigate through the app. If you look at the iPad app, there's a lot of Chrome there. You see the status bar at the top, where you have your battery indicator and time. You have a search field. You have a button, a stir button, which randomizes your recipes, and a tab menu. All those elements, they're not content. The search box is a search box. It doesn't say, I'm a recipe. It's just a search box. The status bar as well, the tab menu as well. In a way, it's lost opportunities, lost screen estate that you could use to push your content forward. If you look at iCookbook, the way it's been released and not the previous design, you see it's all about your content. It's all about the recipes. You have large pictures, some titles. That's it. All the rest, gone. So no status bar, no search field, no buttons, no navigation, and no tab menu. It creates a very clean and easy to use app, less confusion, and very consistent with other apps. Now the second design principle is fast and fluid. And I don't know how many people, if you already played with the Surface tablet or other tablets with Win 8 on, but their pages of those apps have a lot of content. And it's mostly laid out in a panoramic view. And if you scroll, you can really, really quickly scroll through all that content. There's no like spinners at the end to load additional content. The processors in those tablets are fast enough to offer you a lot of content up front. So if you look at the iPad app from like a zoomed out view, you see there's a lot going on the left and right edges of your screen. And you really quickly can scroll through all that data before you dive into a specific section. So fast and fluid is the second core principle that you should design your app for. The last one is authentically digital. And I took two screenshots, one of the calendar app on Windows 8, you see that left, and of the calendar app on iOS. And iOS uses this concept called skeuomorphic design. And that means that you try to add elements to your design that refer to the real world, tangible objects, textures that refer to the real world, shapes. So if you look at this design, if you look at the top, you see the stitching, you see the references to like real leather calendar app. That's how the iOS designs their app as of today. there is some kind of movement going on within Apple. There's a lot of people that don't really believe that's the way to go forward. So I'm really excited to see in the next year where Apple takes their design direction and whether they abandon the skeuomorphic design philosophy. If you compare the two apps side by side, you can immediately see that all the real life references at the left and left screens are gone. So let's talk specifics. This is the iPad app. So you see a lot of textures, like you have this wood texture in the background, you have a handwritten font that refers to, you know, the recipes that your grandma used to pass on to you. You have a concept of paper here, a little yellow pin, you have corkboard. All looks really real, and everybody's really familiar with the way to deal with recipes from like the pre-computer days. So they're kind of trying to close the gap. But I think we're ready to lose all that and to go for a design that is purely digital, authentically digital. So that means, like I already said, like large photos, large fonts, thin fonts, nice and classy thin fonts, simple shapes, and solid colors like you can see here in the background. Now let's go back to the design I did the first day at Microsoft. What do you guys think, content before Chrome? How do you think that's a yes or no? If you look at that screenshot, you think I designed against that guideline? I see nobody nodding yes or no. It's no. Yeah, exactly. Because you see, you have a nice. It looks okay. You have a nice image in the background, and it's even questionable whether that image, that sandwich, is actionable, but you can click to it. But for the rest, it's just Chrome. You see a lot of buttons here, categories here. It doesn't show you many recipes. Fast and fluid. Anybody? It's not fast and fluid. I tried to design to incorporate all the elements on that one screen. I was a little bit afraid of that whole scrolling concept. I didn't do that. So in order to explore more, you have to tap into your buttons here. You have to make a decision where you want to go, and then you see more content. So didn't really do good at that either. Authentically digital? I think I did that one right the first day. So as you can see, there's no more textures, no more references to like handwritten fonts or sheets of paper. That's all gone. So I think I did pretty well for my first day there. They were pretty happy where I was. So this is the second iteration. Looks already a little bit better. But you still see that you have those large buttons at the bottom. See more, see more, see more. Because I was afraid that people wouldn't know how to dive into those sections. It's not really clear if you cut those sections how to interact with it. And that's a typical fear that designers and also clients have. Like, wait a minute, where's the next button? Where's the read more button? But it's very simple. Recent, cuisine, theme, these titles are clickable. And it's a little bit hard to accept in the beginning because you will think like, that's a title. Nobody clicks on titles. But once you use a Surface tablet for a couple of hours or a couple of minutes, you quickly discover those features, and you see it's a very, very natural thing to do. So I'm quickly going to go to the end result of this this exercise. So this is the homepage that eventually has been released. It was a big fight with the clients to remove the background image. I personally don't like it, but they wanted their brand in there. So I think that's something that's not really 100% according to the guidelines, this non-actionable real-life image in the background. But for the rest, you see large images, hero images, and all copy that refers to your recipe, but no Chrome copy. So this is an overview of all the recipes that are available in the Asian cuisine. And this is a detail page. So this app is being used within Microsoft to train their PMs, project managers, the QA team, of what an app looks like that is 100% according to the guidelines. So they used this app in, I believe, January, February last year, no, this year, to present Windows 8 to the consumers in Barcelona Mobile World Congress. So I was pretty happy with that. So let's talk about what this session is really about, the iPad to not iOS, to iPad to Windows 8 conversion. If you go to windowsstore.com/designers and you scroll to the bottom of the page, you can click this button, Design Case Studies. And then you get a whole bunch of case studies, and one of these is the iPad to Windows Store app. So Microsoft saw what I did with iCookbook, and they apparently liked it, and then they asked me, like, why didn't you just do a little write-up about that so that you can just communicate to other designers how to transform your apps. So here I put the two apps next to each other, and these are actually another app. So I specifically built an app from scratch just for this case study. So it's not the iCookbook app anymore. It's a non-existing photo app. It's a concept that everybody understands, just managing photos. You connect to Flickr, for example. You browse by month. You can give some comments. So it's a concept that most designers would understand. Not that designers wouldn't understand cookbook apps. But so at left, you see the Windows 8 version of it, and at right, you see the iPad version of it. So this is what we're going to cover in this topic, how to design a homepage. Really fun section. What is semantic zoom? Really kind of hard to understand in the beginning. What is an action bar? How to implement search and share, because there's no buttons on the screen, so where you put these. How to select items, things about orientation of screen, your snap view, and live tiles. So let's start with the beginning, your homepage. And if you look at the iPad, most apps have a tab bar at the bottom. And a tab bar is purely Chrome. Let's say you have a category foo and bar. The category foo, it's just a piece of text on an icon that represents a lot, that represents text and images and whatever your app offers. That's all in that little button. It's all like hidden in a menu bar. And Microsoft believes that that's not the way it should be. You should be lured by the content. You should be invited by the content to click through into a certain section, not invited by a button in an app bar at the bottom. So what the philosophy describes is to get a little bit of content out of these tabs and push them forward to your homepage. And then by doing that, you create this natural called hubs. So this is a hub for the foo category, and this is a hub for the bar category. So instead of using a tab bar at the bottom, you push some content forward, you group it, and you put a nice title on it on the top that is actionable, that is clickable. So let's take our knife, and let's start. It's just cutting away all the pieces and elements from an iPad, and you will see that you result in a Windows 8 app. It's pretty fun to do. So first, as you can see, it's maybe hard to see on the projector, but you have this kind of background texture here. It refers to like an old album that you have, like a vintage photo album. Let's first remove that and swap it out with a solid color. So now the background color is all solid. Now let's remove all the Chrome, like the status bar, the title bar, the tab menu. Let's just cut it away. Bam. All gone. And you immediately see that it becomes really simple. It becomes more about your content and less about all these other things on the screen. Let's get rid of the pagination, and let's also get rid of the stacking metaphor. So what you see here, all those icons represent a month in your photo library. And because there's more content available on iPad, you use a metaphor of like stacking images, so people know there's more behind that little thumbnail. So let's cut that. Bam. Now we still have those frames around the photos that probably refer to like a Polaroid picture, for example. We can cut it as well. Bam. So even more than a couple of slides before, you see it's all about your content. There's almost nothing left anymore. So now let's reflow the content into a panoramic app. A couple of minutes before, I explained you that most pages on Windows 8 are very long, and you can really quickly, with easy swipe gestures, scroll through those pages. So let's reformat this single viewport design into a longer page. Obviously, some pieces are out of the screen right now at your right. Now let's make the pictures a little bit bigger. They're really small, and there's so much space. So let's blow them up. Bam. And now let's add some titles, because those pictures refer to a photo or an album, but you don't know which one anymore. So let's add some copy to that. So wintertime, fall, all those titles belong to those images. Now by reducing all those Chrome elements, we create a lot of space underneath here that we can leverage to bring up more content forward. So let's do that. Let's take a couple of albums that was in that category and put them forward as well. So we're almost there, we're almost ready. The only thing we have to do is let's increase the size of the titles and remove the kind of designy element underneath it. So we use this very simple CU UI font, which is a default Windows font for Windows 8 apps. And now let's get rid of the title, let's redesign that. And I'm one slide ahead. So what you remember from those tabs that I referred to before, that you had a tab photos and comments. And I explained you to grab a little bit of content from each of those tabs and push that forward. So what I've did here is I took a little bit of content from the comments tab and I put it on the homepage as well. And we put that in front of the photos. And now we can go ahead and add the logo and change the title. So we're almost there. We only have to swap out the tablet, bam, and you have your Windows 8 app. So it's really simple anyway. Just take your knife, get your iPad designs and start cutting away all kinds of stuff. And then you will have a lot of space left. And then take little bits of pieces of content and put that on the homepage. This app looks pretty traditional. You see it's very squarey, uses the typical CUI font. Later in the session, I will explain you how you can find the boundaries of the design language and create something more unique. Because the problem is that if you create apps and you follow the guidelines for 100%, you take them really, really strict, then all the apps are going to look the same. So here I show the concept of the panorama where your stuff goes. So behind this right edge, you have the months, November, October, all the months for 2010, but also all the months for 2011, and all the months of 2010. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of swiping going on, which can be annoying, because maybe you want to scroll to, let's say, January 2010. That's a lot of scrolling. It goes fast, but it's a lot of scrolling. And if you scroll too fast, then you pass your content. So that's why Microsoft introduced this concept of semantic zoom. And semantic zoom is an alternative to the views that you already have. So if you go back to this screen, it will be this view, this screen, but simplified, even more simplified. I'll come back to that later. Let's first see how that relates to other, let's see, is it in the right order? Semantic zoom. I don't think that's semantic zoom. Let's forget that. I'll explain you more about semantic zoom. So in order to get that view, you pinch in your page. And once you do that, you get a simplified version, a shorter version of that long panorama that you had. And that allows me to quickly go to, let's say, January 2010 or 2009. You don't have to have a semantic zoom for every page. It's up to the designer to evaluate how much content you have on a page and whether you want to make it easier for people to quickly jump to a specific section in that page. So every page on a Windows 8 app can have a semantic zoom, but doesn't have to have it. The way that Apple deals with that is by using controls in the app bar. So if you want to swap to, say, 2009 and 2010, you click a button, you click on 2010 and your data underneath will refresh. So there's a lot of like clicking, interacting with controls going on iPad 8, not iPad 8, iPad. Obviously, we cut away a lot of stuff, but we still need controls. You still need to be able to upload a photo, for example. So where are these controls? Can't find them. So we're going to introduce an app bar. I'm going to talk to you about the app bar where we put actions in. The actions on an iPad mostly goes in the menu bar. It's mostly top right where you have a drop down where you can share or delete a photo or do all kinds of stuff with your content. On Windows 8, we move those controls into an app bar that is positioned at the bottom of your app. And the app bar by default is hidden. So by default, it looks like this. But once you swipe from the edge of your tablet, in this case, for example, a Surface. Well, this is actually a Samsung. But once you swipe, you can open an app bar. And in this case, we are on the homepage of a photo app. There's not much that you can do. So there's only an upload button. But once you go into a specific page, a page that shows you a full screen image, there's much more possible with that one image. You can, for example, create a comment. You can rotate it. You can download it. You can delete it. So there's a lot of more, it's just more controls available for this view. So you place it in an app bar that you can hide and show by just quickly swiping up from the bottom of your tablet. And the way to group those controls or actions is very logic. Everything that is specific for this page, everything that's contextual, you place it at the left. And everything that's global, like the upload button, you place it at the right. Global actions like upload should be available on every page. So on every page, wherever you swipe up the app bar, you will have that control at right. But on every page where you can swipe up as well, you will see contextual buttons at the left that only apply to the specific page. So it's very easy to remember. Contextual at your left and global actions go to the right. So this shows you where those actions mostly live on iPad and shows you that we move all these actionable things in the bottom app bar. A common mistake that designers make using this app bar is putting navigation items in there. For example, a table of contents button or kind of abusing a little bit for a tab system like bucket content A is here, bucket content B is there. Don't do that. Only put actionable things in an app bar. I didn't showcase it in this presentation, but if you want to create shortcuts to certain content pieces, you mostly put it in a top app bar that will live at the top. But wherever you swipe from the top or the bottom, those app bars will show at the same time. Let's talk a little bit about search and share. On iPad, and we're going to talk about share here specifically, on iPad, sharing, there's no real guideline to implement sharing in your app from a design standpoint. You can place Twitter and Facebook buttons wherever you want. Mostly it's hidden in a control or a flyout menu at the top right because there are many apps to share with nowadays. Windows cleaned it a little bit up, and they have a much easier and more consistent solution for that. They have a charm bar at the right of your screen. So once you swipe from the right edge of your tablet, this charm bar will appear. And this charm bar is part of the OS. So the icons you see here, you cannot change them. The black background, you cannot change it. It's part of the OS. So the OS actually takes care of your sharing needs. Let's demonstrate that. Let's click on share. And what happens is this share charm appears. And this share charm is, again, built in or baked in Windows 8. I, as a designer, have no way of changing the background color, changing the fonts, or what's on this share charm. You can change the color, but it's the user that's going to change that color. This green color is part of the theme that you selected once you start enrolling or installing Windows 8. So in this case, I selected green as a user, but it could also be blue or purple. I, as a designer, don't have any influence on that. So what happens here, so we're about to share this image of Barcelona in the background. All the apps that can receive your share suddenly appear. It could be apps that I've never heard about from a developer or developer or designer standpoint. Maybe the cooking app can receive a picture of Barcelona to tie to some tapas, for example. You don't know as a designer, but the good thing is you don't have to develop to support share. On iOS, you have to build code, you have to use SDKs in order to support share with Twitter, Facebook, etc. It's a little easier on iOS 6 because Twitter and Facebook are more or less built in or provided for free. But all the other sharing possibilities like Pinterest and stuff, you have to program it in. And on Windows 8, once there is an app that is built around Pinterest and can receive your photo from whatever app, you can suddenly share with that. So that's great. It saves you time, and time is money, so more time for, or more money for designers to create nice stuff. So this is the share. So we decided, let's go back. There's no Facebook, official Facebook app yet, but imagine there is one. Then you will get this kind of screen where you can share with Facebook. This is part of the Facebook app that overlays your app. They built this share charm to receive your shared item. Now let's swipe again from the right edge. And now let's search. So as you can see, search doesn't live in your app. There's no search button. There's no little magnifying glass in your design. And please also avoid that. The only reason to place search items on your app is if you're a really search-based app. If you're, let's say, a Google app or a Kayak that you need to type in a destination or something, then it is allowed to put a search box on your in your actual design. But that's kind of an edge case. Most people are not built purely around search. So in that case, you don't put it on your design, you don't put it in your pages, but you rely on the built-in search capabilities of Windows 8. So let's click that button. So I typed in Barcelona, and immediately I've been taken to my photo app and see results for Barcelona. But what else you could do with that keyword Barcelona you typed in there, you can quickly find tweets about Barcelona, for example, once you tap on the tweet app or whatever other app shows up when you search. It's a little scary. It's scary for a lot of clients, because suddenly you try to search as a user in your own app, and suddenly those apps from competitors show up. So you have to some homework to do there to tell your client that's just the way it is. It is better for the user. It's not as good for the user than for you from a commercial standpoint. But this is all about creating a good experience for users and not specifically for your own business. So let's have a look at selecting items. Selecting items on iPad, it's a little all over. There's various ways to do it. One way is to tap and hold, like your home screen, and then the icons start to wiggle. One other way is to have like an edit button at the top right, and then your elements home page become editable. If you want to leave that state, you have to cancel out. So mostly there's a cancel button at left as well. So there's various ways on iPad to select items. There's no real guideline or standard around it. Windows 8 did their homework, and they created a very consistent design language that also supports selecting. And selecting is very easy. By default, it looks more or less like this, and your app bar with the actions that are that you can perform to the selected item appear automatically. So once you select, so once I select a photo here, the app bar appears, and it can immediately perform actions against it. So again, content first. While on iPad, you're going to decide to go into selection mode by clicking on some controls. On Windows 8, you're going to start with your content. So you select your content by just tapping in and swiping down. And then you can do stuff with it. So it's first content and then actions. Content before Chrome. Landscape and portrait mode. On iPad, and we all have many apps on our iPads, you probably noticed that you can scroll all kinds of directions. There's no real guideline on best practices. On Windows 8, it strongly encourages horizontal scrolling, panoramic views. And even on the portrait view, that stays horizontal scrolling. Many designers make the mistake of, oh, I'm going to turn the tablet, and then you can swipe up, and then you have a vertical scroll. You can do that. You can do anything what you want if you design a Windows 8 app. But if you stay true to the Windows 8 design guidelines, then you have an opportunity to be featured in store. There are a lot of apps right now that don't look good, that make a lot of mistakes against the guidelines. That's fine. But if you want to build an app that will be featured in the store, which means more downloads, which means more dollars, then it's really wise to stay true to those guidelines. So then I strongly suggest never to allow vertical scrolling in your apps. We saw an app this morning, the newspaper app, I think it was the standard. There was some vertical scrolling going on there. Not advised to do that. The problem with newspapers and magazines are that it's mostly designed for print. And as an app developer, often you just get those images, so you cannot reflow the content. So in that case, there's no other way around it. But if you build your apps really well, you will get the pure data and you can reflow it into a panoramic view. So this is how it looks on landscape, and this is how the photo app looks on portrait. And what you see by keeping the design almost for 100% from portrait to landscape, you have this gap at the bottom that you can fill up with more content. So the idea is that if you turn your tablet, you see less content, you see less categories, your viewport is a little narrower. That creates opportunity to create to offer more content, additional content for that specific category or hub. You can be smarter than this design, and this design would just show more of comments. But you can be smarter. You can, for example, show more ads. Or you can show functionality, or maybe the most liked recent comments, for example. So you can be smarter than just extending the content here. So the idea behind it is turn your tablet and you get more of your categories that you're seeing on screen. SnapView. SnapView is really interesting, and it allows you to multitask. On iPad, to multitask is a little hard. I tried to send a text this morning, and the number was in the photos. I have to go to my photo app and then go to my text app and then type a little bit of the numbers, but I have to go back to this previous app. You cannot have two apps in the same view on iPad, which is a little annoying. Windows thought about that, and they developed a Snap View, which means that you can move any app into a Snap View. And a Snap View is this little column here at the left. By doing that, you have two apps on your screen, app one, app two. So we call this a Snap View, and this is the Fill View. So this is how the photo app looks like in Snap View. So there are two apps. There's the weather app at right and the photo app at left. When you're selling your designs to your client, you should stand still on this one a little bit and explain him the opportunities of the Snap View. Often, and maybe it's not really relevant for the photo app, but often your app can live along another app, and that becomes a really powerful, I would say, combination. It could be that you, and maybe that's not the best example, but you put the Lolcat app. I don't know if you're familiar with the Lolcats. They have an app as well. Could be that you put that in the Snap View while you're making a serious presentation, just to have some humor at the same time. But that's a bad example because that will just basically waste your time. But it could be that you, for example, keep your stocks at left, and at right you have an app to sell and buy stocks, and you see the updates at left automatically. It could be that as a newspaper app, I would strongly suggest, and I don't know if they have a good Snap View, to auto-refresh content, news items, so you can do your homework in PowerPoint, for example, in your Fill View, while still keeping track of what's going on in the world. Live tiles. On iPad, the tiles or the icons are really nicely designed. There's a lot of time and detail that goes into those icons, but they're a little bit static. They don't really do too much. The only static part are those little indicators that you have one or two, three new messages. Windows 8 is a little bit smarter in that sense, and Android is a little bit in the middle with their widgets. But Windows 8 live tiles are live. That's why you have live in the word live tiles. That means that you can push content even further than just the homepage of your app. You can push it to the start screen of your PC. And that's an opportunity as a from a commercial standpoint, to draw people in your app every day. You have a new opportunity by showing new content to attract people to click open your app. It could be, I always look at this from like an A/B testing standpoint. If you rotate through three images, then you have three times a chance to attract your end user to click open your app. Maybe the first image is not the best one, so maybe they're not interested, but maybe the second image is really enticing, and then people will click through. On iPad, you don't have the opportunity. You have a nice looking icon or not, and based on that, people will open your app or never open your app anymore. So this is an example of Windows home screen that you all have seen many times. So in this case, for the photo app, there is this image of the Atomium that, for example, someone recently commented on, and that image is immediately pushed to the live tile on the start screen of Windows 8. So just by scrolling to your homepage, you can kind of see which apps are very active, and you can see different kind of statuses of this, of what's happening in that app. These are all the templates that you can use. You cannot design your own live tile in that sense that there are, and I didn't count it, I think like around 20 different templates that you can use. You cannot change the font, so don't use Comic Sans in your designs, it's not possible. You cannot move this metric indicator to the left, for example. This is your tool set, that's what you can do. And at left, these white images here are all images. So you can have a very image-based live tile, and most companies put their logo in there. But it's smarter to combine these with other tiles that offer a little bit of content from what's happening in your app. So mostly you will have a live tile, an image-based, your logo, and then that will rotate using one of these other live tiles. If you have a key metric to communicate, you can use this one. If you have a lot of content to communicate, for example, a subject line with some body copy, you can use that one with, for example, an image. So again, study this really hard as a designer, because there's a lot of designs that I see that have really cool live tiles, but it's like, it's not possible. You could, if you're a really advanced developer, you could, of course, generate images, and in that sense, offer a little bit more functionality if you want to, but it's a big hassle and very time-consuming. So how to create an innovative design? We've seen a lot of boxy designs already, and there's a whole inspiration part at the Windows Store website with apps that are very creatively designed to help all designers to open up their mind a little bit, to broaden their design sense. So if you go to windowsstore.com/designers, and then you click on Get Inspired, you go to this page and you have, I think, about like 8 apps that don't exist, they're fictional, but have purely designed to show you what's possible in terms of design. The company I work for, and I was involved in 4 of those design apps. And I'm going to show you a couple of apps. Some of them will be out of that inspiration page. Some of them are the ones that Ratio Interactive designed and live in a store. Nature Space is one of those apps that we launched really, really early, I think March last year. And you immediately see that there's no squares, it's a circle. And it was really interesting to show that to Microsoft to kind of see how they would respond to it. And they're like, yeah, it's good, they like it. There's like, they were kind of wondering where designers would take their design language, but if you read the guidelines, this is 100% compliant to the guidelines. It shows images, it shows content, clickable titles, very simple shapes, no controls. So they were like, wow, you guys did a good job. If you click through on the previous page, so maybe I should explain what this app is about. It's called Nature Space. It offers you a whole range of tracks, soundscape tracks, recorded in nature, like birds and oceans and stuff like that. So if you click on mornings, or if you click one of those specific tiles, you go to a detail page, and again, we build everything around circles. So don't think that you have to stick with the squares. Also, this apple show that you can be really creative in your designs. So we use this kind of skewed rectangle design here. Very, very image-based. And the concept of the app, as you could already read head to toe, shows you that you can navigate through the catalog of this shopping app for men by clicking on an area on your body. So you can click on the head, on the shoulder, to dive into that specific section. But the jewel of this app is a semantic zoom. So it just absorbs this content. So you see there's a lot going on. So you have for the head, for the neck, for the shoulder, down the leg, and all these other categories off your screen. How are you going to navigate to these other categories? By using semantic zoom. And by using semantic zoom, we simplified the content and put it all in this one person. And most of semantic zoom, as you will see, will be like boxes, 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 like you saw before with the photo app. But you can be really creative. You can say, oh, all those photos are just summed up in this one person, and they have little indicators of your different categories. So again, be really creative. You can do a lot of things with Windows 8. It's not a very constraining design guidelines. You can take it as very constraining if you take it really, really literal, but you don't have to. We're all creative, so we can find the boundaries of it. This app, which is a travel app, shows you how creative you can be with the bottom app bar. Mostly it's a straight belt at the bottom, but you can split it in two, like you can see here, use different colors, use different shapes. It's all technically possible as well. Even the circles, you can leave out the circles. You can have just the icons if you want to. You can do everything you want. At the top app bar, this is the first example I show of a top app bar to pivot your data and to do some selections. Again, the back button, it's not a traditional circle with the symbol in it. You can design your own back button. As long as it is in the same place and it's the tappable area is large enough, then it's perfectly compliant. This is an app that I did for NASDAQ. It's an app that manages your company. Steve Ballmer is actually going to use this app. So he can log in and look through all the results of the past year and communicate with other stakeholders. So this had to be a little bit more traditional. It's also pretty old design. So in the beginning of this year, Microsoft wasn't that open towards those very creative designs yet. But they loosened up, and I think that was a really, really good thing to do. So here you see there's still a lot of boxes, a lot of straight edges, but there was an opportunity to create this iconic like iceberg elements to it to make it a little bit more fun. Because this is a very content-centric app, very like a little boring, if you can tell. But by doing that, you can create something unique and innovative. This is an app we did for Nexus U Media. They own a lot of magazines. Again, instead of like squares, you use the actual magazines. There's even a little shadow here at the bottom that is almost a little bit skeuomorphic. It's almost like, hey, this is a tangible object. So this is a little bit on the edge. But again, most of it is very, very simple. And like the back button, the big copy. So it's totally according to the guidelines. Parents, fun app. Parents is a magazine for parents. On this home screen, you see the subtle design in the bottom. It doesn't take away too much attention. There's a little ad here, and instead of like boxes, this uses a little chalk effect on the edges. So also these titles are not like straight boxes. They're a little bit more loose to create a more fun app. I'm not going to show that one. How to prepare for your clients. I'm going to talk about four things. And first is let him play with the tablet, please, or install Windows 8 on his machine. I've done a ton of apps. I was really proud. And you go to the client, they're like, hey, look at that. It looks cool, huh? And then they like try to swipe up. They're like, oh, where's my share button? They don't feel comfortable in a new platform. We are here in the room to learn about Windows 8. They are here not in the room. So we all have homework to do in educating our clients on what Windows 8 is, what unique features are. So first thing, buy Surface for yourself, and I know it's hard, but borrow it out to your client for a weekend. Second thing is explain him the core design principle. Explain him content before Chrome. Because a lot of clients they're just afraid of everything that's new. I mean, they used to iPad for so long now that they're not really open to new and innovative platforms like Windows 8. And there's a lot of, I think the philosophy is really well. It's actually better and easier to use and more consistent. But your client is used to something, so you have to tell them that there was a lot of thought that went to that, and it's beneficial for the end user to create more, to create apps that are easier to use and that are easier to navigate. So explain your client about content before Chrome, explain them about fast and fluid, and also explain them about authentically digital. I had a lot of battles to fight to lose all those textures in the iCookbook app. Like hours and hours and hours explaining why a wooden background doesn't really do too much for your experience of your app. Also explain the opportunities and the features, like SnapView, for example. There are a lot of opportunities there. There's a lot of unique selling points that iPad doesn't have. Explain that. Explain why search is not like available as a button or an icon in your app. Explain that it's built into your app. Explain about roaming, and this is the first time I talk about that, but roaming means that when you're on the bus with your tablet and you have Windows 8 on your desktop computer at home, then you can roam, you can share the settings of your app. So you open the app on the bus and you'll see the last comment you added or the page that you left off. Explain those concepts. And then there's a lot of, I can do a whole session around the commercial standpoint from Windows 8. There's a lot of innovative ways of making money. There are trial apps that expire within 30 days, for example. iPad doesn't have that. You mostly have to publish two apps. There are trial functionalities that you can let expire, let's say, within 30 days. That means your user can try the app for 30 days. A certain features will be locked up within a month, and then you have to pay to unlock those features. I'm sure that iOS will catch up and offer those commercial possibilities as well. But for now, it's a unique way for your clients to make some money in a different way besides just letting your end user pay to open an app that they might not even try it yet. And the last is budget really well. There's a lot of designers that forget that there's more than a home screen or that portrait or that landscape screen. There is portrait, there is snap view. That requires more time to design that. So don't think about like, oh, I can flesh out one design in a couple of hours and sell your client to that. Because down the road, you will need a portrait view as well. You will need a snap view as well. And in snap view, as you can see, you have to kind of redesign your app a little bit or reflow your content to support Snap. There's quite some time that goes into that. Don't forget to calculate that into your estimates so you can budget well and you have time as a designer to create apps. We at Ratio, we try to help Microsoft spreading the word on Windows 8, and we created this website, Windows 8 Design Handbook. It's a more visual way of learning about Windows 8. You have the official documentation, but there's a lot of reading to do. We are designers, so we don't like to read. So you can just look at pretty pictures. There's a lot of do's and don'ts graphs here as well. So you can learn by looking at things that you shouldn't do. And these are the sections we have available on that Design Handbook website. So thank you for listening to me. I hope you learned a little bit on UX, UI, and design possibilities of Windows 8. And if there are any questions, I'm open to help you. Thank you. Yeah, we are creating the same kind of case study right now, the Windows 8 tablet to phone app, so that will be published soon. I'm not going to go into specifics right now. It is actually fairly easy. It's fairly easy to reflow your home screen into a phone app. You won't see all the categories because it's kind of hidden, but it's very common to swipe again horizontally into your app to go to the different content hubs. So again, we're working on documentation around that, but it would be fairly easy to implement that. Yes? Yeah, good question. It's just one zoom. It's not like a continuous zoom. You're not going to continue zooming into your app. For every page, you have two versions, the normal version you see, and then optionally one semantic zoom. So once you pinch again, you leave that mode and you go back to your underlying page. There's one important thing to understand about that. You can either jump into the page underneath using semantic zoom, but you can also open another page from semantic zoom. So you tap and you go to a different section instead of navigating to that panorama. So there's no multiple zoom in into your content. No. Yes? Yeah, it's a very common, I would call it fear in the beginning, especially for clients. Like, people are never going to know that the controls are in the bottom app bar, which is probably true the first second. The first second you have a surface in your hand, you're probably not going to notice that. But you quickly notice that, you quickly find it out. And once you know it, and because it's so consistent across all these other apps, it's a no-brainer that all the controls are over there. I personally, when I'm on my iPad, I'm already swiping up to kind of see how I can do things with that content. So it's a fear that is fair, but I think once adoption is there, that people will definitely know where to find those controls. The same with the clickable titles. It doesn't look like a button. It doesn't look inviting to click on. But once you know you can do it, you're just going to try it. It's actually much easier from a usability standpoint to just interact straight with your content, to tap a photo, tap a title. In a way, it's more logical than having to go to some kind of learn more link that is related to that content and click through. That's what we used to. But in a way, it's not so logical if you think about it. It's a kind of very kind of technical way of telling there is something more there. Think about old people. Think about children. They can only tap, and they're not going to read more or those kind of links or buttons. Yeah, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. The problem there is that because it is very content-based, you cannot see where that content is from, like you said. You can put a little icon on the bottom left. It's fairly small. So I think you should create content that is unique for your app. It's obviously hard for, let's say, newspapers or stuff. But in terms of like an iCookbook, you can put your brand in the imagery, the way the focus in the photo and stuff like that, or maybe the color of the photo or the theme colors of your photo. So I agree it's a little hard to do that. And I also suggest of having a logo tile in one of those rotating tiles as well. Yeah, absolutely. There is an inspiration book called Line of Business that we created and that tackles that. It's a little boring in a way because it's a lot about a lot of data that you need to pivot. But that's a good entry to learn about that, how to deal with when your bottom app bar flows over of actions, for example, how you deal with that. So you can go to that Line of Business ID book, and that will explain you that problems. Yes. There are, I don't know officially what's being communicated around that, but there are two I would say, ways to evaluate your app. There's one, it's called AFT, Application Fast Track. I don't know if that's being communicated in Belgium, to be honest. That's a team that is accessible for everybody, for all app creators or designers, and you can submit your app and they will come back with recommendations. There's another team called AER. I don't know what it stands for. And they will evaluate your apps to be featured on the App Store. So that's more strict. So like I said before, you can just abandon all those guidelines and do crazy things that are not according to the guidelines. And it will end up in the store, but it will never be featured. And if you don't have that information, you'll probably wonder, why doesn't my app get featured? Like, essentials to have is Semantic Zoom, SnapView. If you don't have these functionalities, if you don't support it, it's very unlikely your app will be featured. There are, of course, some exceptions, like the Bumba app we saw before this morning. That's a game. You cannot play that game in SnapView. So therefore, it's a good use case to just have the Bumba image there and no other functionality in SnapView. But if your app supports, or if your app leans itself to being navigatable in a SnapView, you should definitely support that. But things to look for, keywords is AFT, Application Fast Track. That should be within your reach to let them help you, and they will come back with a report on what should be revised or not. Any more questions or remarks? Yes? This apps clinics, appclinics.be. I haven't been to the website either. I'll go there. You can also just send me an email or reach out. I would be more than happy to see apps. Like I said before, there's still a lot of opportunity in App Store. So I personally started developing a week ago. I'm a designer, but I was kind of interesting how stuff works. And with my experience of HTML and CSS and some JavaScript, I could quickly flesh out an app in less than an hour. Visual Studio is available for free. You can easily download that. You need a Live ID account. That's it. So it is even for this room as designers, it is possible to create an app yourself if you have experience with HTML and CSS. Yes? Charm? No, so there is an autofill. So once you type, it starts autofilling. So you can tap one of those keywords, and then then you can execute it against your app, and then the results show up. But there's no live, like if I do BA, and then you want like the Barcelona photos to show up. True, the app will be highlighted though. In the charm bar, your app that you're currently on will be highlighted. So that gives a certain indication. But I understand your comment. It is not, people probably won't be familiar with that kind of way of searching. I totally agree. It's yet another decision that Microsoft made to make it easier for the user. But we have to learn that it also works the other way. But specifically from a technical standpoint, I cannot answer your question whether you can do the live, actually typing BAR and then having Barcelona photos show up, and you remove the A and the R, and then you have Bumba, for example, that shows up. I don't know how whether that's possible. I cannot answer that. There was another question. Mm-hmm. You mean like showing up more relevant instead of just keywords sections in your page? You mean? Yeah. Yeah, that's a technical question. I don't know how much you can interact with or tie into that search functionality. You should be in the other room. Any more questions or remarks? How many people are actually designers here in the room? I should have asked that in the beginning of the session. And how many people design for iPad? And how many people design already in and Windows 8 app? Not too many. Right? I think I answered all the questions. You can tap me on the shoulder after the session if you have specific questions. I have a Surface tablet here as well, so if you have apps that I can preview and give comments on, then I'll be happy to do that. Thank you.